Welcome to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust, covering car culture and the automotive world with Shane Osborne, Brady Wright, and Steve, the producer, Johan. Let's see what's up this week.
Well, this week it's April 7th, 2020, and yes, we are in the midst of the coronavirus pandemic, and so Steve and I are duly gloved, masked, vibrated, and gazorn and platted.
I don't know about vibrated.
Well,
maybe
close
that's
enough.
You.
Shane is not with us tonight. Shane has some health issues that are kind of making him a little nervous about being around other people, and so we appreciate that he is home and being cool. We will say something appropriate to him at some point in the show. Hi, Shane.
Hi.
Anyway, there are literally bajillions of folks, we hope, listening to this show. This is the 131st episode of Horsepower,
wow.
Chrome, and Rust. You can find us on iTunes, on iHeart Podcasts, on Spotify, of course, Podomatic.com. Thanks for liking and following our Facebook page. If you did that, you are doing that, aren't you? Please do that. And all the latest shows, of course, are in our archives. I also want to take a moment to welcome our newest sponsor, Witch Doctor Respiration. Respiration. See, I'm thinking about...
Yes, I know.
Think about ventilators.
Yeah.
Anyway, let your project be a witch doctor project, please. Big job, small job, dream job. Shane will help. 206-437-1765. Our first segment, as always, is back to the blacktop. Steve Johan has automotive news information as usual. What is up this week, good sir?
Well, so as you would guess, the auto industry is, I'm a little hot there, is in big time pain right now.
Yes,
with forced
true.
Plant closures, dealership lockouts, sales crashing, causing lots of layoffs, which in many experts' opinions will never fully return. Automakers have extended the time their production facilities in the U.S. will remain shut due to the mandated constraints and lack of sales caused by these restraints. In Europe, the same is being done over there. Meanwhile, China's light vehicle production is ramping back up, though experts are predicting an overall drop of sales of over 11%, which translates into nearly 21 million less vehicles being sold this next year.
Yeah, yeah.
Also in the news... The Trump administration is threatening to impose tariffs on imported oil, which could effectively put a floor under the plummeting prices of gasoline. Now, you ask yourself, why? Well, because he wishes to protect domestic oil producers from losses caused by lowered oil prices being imported into the USA from offshore sources, namely Russia and the Middle East consortiums, who have lowered prices in order to bring in cash to offset their losses and need for cash into their economies. So you can't blame them for doing what they're doing. And I guess we're trying to fight back. So gas against gas.
Well, the good news is that the U.S. has larger oil reserves than we ever will need. We're doing just
fine. Well, thanks to the fracking, yeah.
Well, but we even before that,
yep.
Our oil reserves were just fine. We didn't actually have to buy oil from offshore.
No,
we did
don't.
It because it's politically correct. And you know, I don't want to get off in this because it's too much, you know, cloak and dagger stuff. The bottom line is, the whole industry, the whole auto industry, and of course the follow-up, you know, industries like petroleum and rubber and the rest of that kind of stuff. The people say, "Oh, it's never going to come." You know what? It's going to come back just fine. It's going to come back just fine. 2020 is going to be a bad year. There's no two ways around it. But by next year, this will be done, and sales will come back. Have you ever really, really wanted to buy another car? You really wanted the car, but you couldn't get it for some reason. Something was holding you back. You didn't have the money, or it wasn't the right time, or you couldn't get the car you wanted. Did you stop wanting the car because of that? The answer is no.
No.
You just waited, and it got even more exciting and more impressive, and at some point or another, you pulled the trigger and dropped the chain and went, "All right, I'm buying this car."
Kind of like all the guys and gals who can't get haircuts.
It's going to
happen. And as soon as they can get their haircuts again, it's going to be flooded because they're all going to get
tired. And they're going to tip the barber or the stylist, you know, big time.
Yeah,
this is going to come back. I have an extremely positive attitude about this whole thing.
Well, you and I have black and white on that, but that's okay. There is a bright spot in all this. A brand new Tesla dealership is going in down the street from our studio.
It
used to be a former GMC dealership building, and it's a really nice building, by the way. And it is now, I saw the sign out there, they're getting it all ready. So
yeah, the electric sign
we
was
will
off.
Have Tesla cars, which is a pretty big thing because there's only one other one, I think, in the whole entire area. So
yeah, it's downtown.
Downtown Seattle. So this is going to be a big boon for... Well, to be honest, if anybody knows this area, it's called Auto Row, and for about 5 miles, there is nothing but one dealership after another. So they kind of said, this is where we need to be. So good. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, it's a good deal. Plus, you know, with that new Tesla C, it's a good model for, you know, entry level. People want to get started in an EV, and it's probably a good deal for them. $37,000, something like that.
Yeah, I think it's great. So up next, we find that Specialty Equipment Market Association, SEMA, is partnering with eight other automotive trade associations, urging the National Governors Association and governors of all 50 states to standardize the definition of essential businesses and workers.
Boy, that's not the only industry doing that either.
Oh,
that's a big, big
thing.
This
is a big thing. And this, the groups recommended adopting the U.S. Department of Homeland Security's March 28 directive, Guidance on Essential Critical Infrastructure Workforce, Ensuring Community and National Resilience, which identifies essential workers and businesses operations throughout the economy. So they're basically saying, guys, we just want to know what can and we cannot do so we can get on with business. Because this shop over here, they can work. Other shops over here can't. And, you know, the same thing is going on right now with schools. Oregon is opening up schools. Washington governor decided, to hell with opening schools. We're going to keep them closed throughout the whole school year.
Yeah, the school year is done, so now they're talking about how to remotely
graduate
people. Oh,
there's two more months to go.
But, I mean, they're not going to open.
He said they're not going to. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he's a bonehead.
Well, we're going to graduate a bunch of kids that didn't finish, is what that's all about.
Exactly.
You know, it's frightening. It actually is frightening.
It is very frightening. And they're actually, to be honest, I have a son who is in high school, and he is doing all online. But there are a lot of people who don't fit the online profile.
It's true, yeah.
Absolutely. And they're going to suffer.
Yeah.
And so, did you know our well, I already said that. So, another bright side is that during all this, Waymo, the Alphabet Google-owned company developing autonomous ride-sharing vehicles, issued a statement saying they would be suspending all operations, including their fully driverless operations. So that is a very positive thing, because I hate autonomous vehicles. I do not like them. I do not believe them,
It may be positive in terms of, you know, we're not sure we're resident, but all those people lost a job.
Get this. Yeah. Of course, the same people are hoping to leverage the current fear of being exposed to the drivers who might have a cold into speeding up autonomous transportation system use. So they're going to use the big CVID, whatever it is, to scare people into using autonomous
vehicles.
The novel
COVID-19.
Yes.
Yeah, it's true.
The crony virus. Last but not least, fuel prices continue to fall, diesel and gas, which translates into safe distancing practices by spending time on the open road with your hot rods, muscle cars, and metric racers, where there is an absence of law enforcement and fellow drivers to contend with. So, folks, I'm telling you, get
social
out.
Social distancing at its core.
At its core is getting in your car
going for
a cruise Sunday afternoon. Remember growing up doing that?
Yeah.
I did it with my family.
We did it last weekend.
I did it with my kid in high school. As a matter of fact, that's when my buddies and I would get in our cars.
Sure.
And hit the country roads.
And gas was cheap, as it is now in a lot of cases.
Oh,
less than it has been for quite some time. Although in our fine state of Washington, there's still a huge tax on gas. So
that's
we're never going to be.
$3.49 still a gallon.
I saw $2.39 today, but still.
$2.39.
Yeah, still. It's just, you know, that, there's 99 cent gas in a couple
we
of
We don't
states.
Have income tax. We have
gas tax.
Yeah. And it's
transportation
the highest.
Tax.
I think it's. Either
and any tax
in the top five tier of the United States.
We're up there. It's never going to be cheap here, but it'll be cheaper, and
it
that's
is,
okay.
And that's why I'm saying get out there. At night, I can hear individuals in their loud metric cars going, vroom.
How do you know they're all metric?
Because I can hear the tail.
How do you know?
I can tell.
It could be somebody with a V6 aluminum Buick. It could be one of those
Well,
guys.
It could be, but I'm telling you what. We have a certain road in near where I'm at that is just the perfect drag strip at night.
Yes.
And
I'm
it
aware
works
of that road.
Really,
we don't live
really
too
really
far
good.
Apart.
No, we don't. And so in the middle of the night when you can't sleep, you hear these guys going up and down, and I'm thinking, darn, if my El Camino was running, I'd be doing the same
thing. Yeah, you would. Yeah.
I would. Believe
Well,
me,
let's get your El Camino running.
Well, I'm getting the garage cleaned up so I can
All
start
right.
working on it.
All right, folks, this is progress. I like this.
It is.
Hey, thanks for tuning in. Coming up on Windshield View, we welcome Tom Turner, the auto guy from KVI Radio. That's all coming up. And the Nathan Lipinski weekly trivia question as well on Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. Cartoons Magazine is back. You know those crazy car comics from the past. They've returned in the all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of brand new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine full of one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available at your local comic book store, newsstand, and directly through Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com. That's cartoonsmag.com, where you can subscribe to a whole year's worth of fun. Cartoons Magazine, there's nothing else like it.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Building a hot rod, rat rod, project vehicle with or without wheels? Bumping up against your skill level? Witch Doctor Restoration can give you a hand or a head to bounce an idea off of. Shane Osborne is an expert at all kinds of fabrication and mechanical work. He can take your ideas and bring them to life, or just show up at your garage and weld up the frame for your rod so it stays together. Your project is his project. If you're anywhere in the greater Seattle area, call him. He'll come to you. 206-437-1765. Witch Doctor Restoration is the place for quality work at your garage. Witch Doctor Restoration, 206-437-1765, 206-437-1765.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. Project Yellow Light.
This is Donnie Smith. You've been listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. Enjoy yourself.
In 95, I helped tow your trailer. And in 09, it was sparks from me, your chains, dragging behind your truck that accidentally started a wildfire.
Spark a change, not a wildfire. Visit SmokeyBear.com, brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service.
Hi, it's Jeff Conwell with the Monsters and Manson, giving a big shout-out to everyone at Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
My mind's out of gear, and my heart's in overdrive. I've everything to fear.
Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust is back with the first half of the Windshield View, and this week we are talking with Tom Turner, host of The Auto Guy on KVI Radio in Seattle. So, Tom, thanks for coming on with us.
Hey, Phil, thanks for having me, and by the way, the name of the show, or my show, is the Northwest Auto Show.
That's right.
I just
happen to be the KVI Auto Guy.
Well, and it's a perfect segue, because we were going to ask you off the air. You talked about how long you've been doing this, but for our listeners, how long has the Northwest Auto Show been on the air?
A little over 20 years.
And what was the genesis? I'm always interested in this because radio is, you know, it's a funny business in a lot of ways, but it something, every once in a while, something hits and becomes, you know, kind of a staple. So what was the genesis of the Northwest Auto Show? How did this thing get started?
Oh, I don't know that we've got time to do this. I ran a repair shop in Federal Way for 100 years, forever.
Got it.
Almost 40 years. And one of the guys that was working for me at the time, back about 22 years ago, his name is Adam Robertson. He had another company with another guy, and they were teaching techs how to do auto repair at a school called Moore Education. And
okay,
the KBI the Auto Show was actually founded by the people that own B&B Auto Parts.
Oh, all right.
And they had a guy doing the hosting who was very good, and he had an expert named Don, who was not, I guess he was a pretty good expert, but he absolutely hated the show. And they were rolling along there. The guy that hated the show wanted out. He was from across the pond. And so this Dave had enrolled, the other B&B Auto Parts guy, had enrolled in Adam's class to learn more about cars. Didn't know anything about cars. He's going to do a show about cars, but he don't know anything about cars.
So good start, yeah.
He enrolled in Adam's class. And then he asked Adam, well, do you want to come and be co-host? And, oh, you know, Adam jumped at that.
Sure.
And he did that. They fired the other guy, and Adam was on. Well, then they're rolling along for a while, and then B&B, the auto parts store, had a kind of a corporate shakeup, and another guy ended up in charge of everything. And Adam and Dave were rolling along there, and one day this guy named Gary walked in from B&B and said, hey, you guys are done. I hate this show. We're not going to do this anymore. It's a waste of money, rah, 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 rah. So they were both out on their butt. As you you've been in radio longer than me, so you know that that happens.
Once or twice, yes.
Yeah, keep your suitcase packed. You may not be here.
That's right. How long have you been working here, not counting today?
So these guys, they were out, and in the meantime, I had... I don't have time to explain it to you. I'm a radio guy. I know we're burning up time here, but I had taken over an auto show that was on Como.
Okay.
Was hosted by a guy named Ashley Knapp.
All
right.
Who
is really an Ashley Knapp. He is that guy.
One of those guys, huh?
he got fired by his producer. For making lewd comments.
Oh boy!
Now, but you have to put this in perspective. This is Ashley. You know, he made 100 lewd comments to get fired, not one.
I see.
So he's... I inherited his show, and I did it for a while, and then all of a sudden the auto show was gone. This Gary guy, you know. So KBI wanted to keep the auto show, you know, even if somebody didn't want to take it over as a brokered show, they wanted to keep it. So Adam had signed the non-comp with B&B, so he couldn't do the show, which was really stupid because they weren't going to do radio anyway.
Sure.
But so Jim Flack, he'd been in radio forever, called me and says, Turner, you want to do the auto show? You bet. So I've been there ever since.
And there you are. Well, so I know that
that's the short version.
Oh, I'm sure there's four part harmony and chapter and verse to go along with it. But so let me ask you this: for people who are outside the Pacific Northwest, KVI and KOMO are two giant stations here. They've been around forever and ever and ever. But now you've got this new show, Northwest Auto Show. So give us the mantra for the show. What do you do there that makes it worth 28 years?
We fix cars on the radio.
I love it. And you get compared, yeah, I'm sure, to Car Talk at some point or another.
Car Talk is more of a comedy show, although I miss it badly. I mean,
great, of course.
And they were the big guys, you know, so that we all of us that were doing automotive shows have always looked up to them.
Yeah.
I don't think people realize how few automotive shows there are in the industry.
You know, that's true.
In the whole nation.
Yeah, that's true. There's a lot of podcasts, but on air auto shows, not very
many.
No, I've checked. You're absolutely right.
I think maybe 20. If you're lucky,
I think it's 16.
Yes. Yeah.
These are active shows that are on every week.
Yep.
That are in the same time frame every week and not commonly preempted by football or whatever.
Right.
Yes.
Well, it's a valuable service. I mean, you can do something that's immediate, and when you're doing what we do, a podcast, I mean, somebody may listen to this show 5 years from now, and, you know, we're going to be talking about the coronavirus, and they'll go, who in the heck are these guys, and what's that about? So you have to kind of be cautious, but when you're on the radio, everything is immediate. It's right now, and, you know, maybe there's an archive someplace, but probably it's, you know, there and gone. So you really have to be topical and timely, and that's kind of the magic of radio, I think.
I did a little research, and I found out that the Car Talk guys started out in 77 and they went to 2012.
Right.
I mean, that is an amazing long time.
Well, one of them died.
Yeah.
Yes.
Know? Yeah, one of the brothers.
So the other one was devastated from what I understood.
Sure.
Do you guys get any insider radio magazines like Talker or any of those?
I used to get them years ago, and I've been out of the business
They had a real nice article about it. Yeah, they'd been doing it for a long time.
Oh yeah,
you know, and they were on a really good venue. You know,
NPR
public broadcasting is a little liberal for me, but a really good deal for an auto show.
Oh, absolutely.
And they were funny. My God, did you ever go to their website?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I think it might be still up. I haven't been in there for a long time. Go in there and go to the letter to the mechanic.
Sure.
You won't stop laughing until you have to pee.
Yeah, it's funny stuff. Absolutely. And, you know, I think that's part of car stories in general. You know, people, even the painful ones are hilarious for the most part. You know, I blew up the garage doing this, and people can identify even if they didn't blow up their garage. And sometimes it's like, okay, if I never want to blow up my garage, here's a map on how not to do it. And it's that kind of stuff is absolutely gold, which, as your point was, they're a comedy show, not so much an auto fix show, even though they'd had that segment. But Northwest Auto Show is a little bit different.
The way they went about doing it is they didn't have live calls.
Sure, of course.
They took calls during the week and recorded them all, and then they called the people back that they wanted on the air.
Right, of course.
And then they had time to make jokes about them and stuff like that. Well, sure. My show is live.
Yeah, exactly.
You punch that button and say, hey, Dawn and C-Tech, welcome to KVI. What you get is what you get.
And so, I know that has created some stuff where, you know, do you get stumped? Do you get...
I don't know everything.
Why not? You're on the radio. The man on the radio knows all.
Some.
So give me an example of a stumper. Just a fun one.
Well, I don't know if I've had a real fun stumper. By the way, it doesn't happen to me all that often. But
no.
I don't know if I'd call it stumped, just a shortage of information. I was talking to a guy in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, just been five, six, 7 years ago, also does an auto show. And he answers all of his fix-it questions, is what I call them.
Yeah.
All of them off the internet. He doesn't use any gray matter knowledge.
So he just Googles
no
real fast and comes
knowledge.
Up with what the
Well, he's got a girl that is got oh, you know the that has to have a new keyboard every 6 weeks because she
Perfect.
Burns the numbers off of
it. Tom, stand by just a second. We are going to take a break. Let's come back with this story because it's a good one. Don't go anywhere. The Windshield View will be right back. We got more Tom Turner, Northwest Auto Show guy, on Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. You stay right where you are. You're into cars, you love a good time, and you'd rather build it than buy it. You might just love the Rat Bastards. The Rat Bastards Car Club is a family-oriented, non-profit organization. We believe in 1969 and older, in the rough is enough, real steel and iron, old-school, traditional hot rods and rat rods. We get together, have fun, help each other, and love to drive them. Your build is our build, because that's the way car clubs are supposed to be. The Rat Bastards are a new class of old school, and our signature event is the Infestation every July. Find us at a cruise in all over the Puget Sound and on the Rat Bastards Car Club page on Facebook.
More Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust after these messages.
Hi, I'm Danica Patrick. Watching my nieces grow, play, and learn is amazing, but not every child gets to be carefree. 1 in 6 kids in the U.S. are hungry. This breaks my heart, and it's something that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and gives it to families in need. To help, visit feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
I adopted Bento in 2010 from a shelter. A lot of people know him as Keyboard Cat.
That's just one adoption story that started at a shelter. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States.
This is Jerry Heasley, and you're listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust, the greatest show I've been on in at least the last year.
Nurse, set up an IV. And you, her boyfriend, you were the driver?
Yes, doctor, but I didn't mean to hurt her. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Just buzzed? Oh, then your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie, I feel great.
She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No, not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the app.
And we're back with the second half of the Windshield View. And before the break, Tom Turner, the auto guy from Northwest Auto Show on KVI Radio, was telling us about his friend who Googled information for the auto questions that they got, as opposed to coming out with stuff out of their brain.
He isn't my friend.
Well,
he is just a guy that did an auto show, which is kind of like I said, we were talking before. It's there's not that many of us, and yeah. I was I had a I got an email from a guy. It said, hey, there's this guy in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, that does this show on whatever station it was. And, you know, I really liked the way he answered his questions because he's just bang right there and bang right there and bang right there. And he answered, well, what he does is he takes the calls and he's got somebody there and putting up the answers on the board.
Sure.
And they're fast enough at it. They've got a kind of a 15-second or 20-second delay.
Right.
And he's got all the answers right there in front of him. That's how he does it. I said, you must sound like a guru. And he said, nah, I get caught at it all the time. So you do your show live. I said, yeah, if I don't know, I just tell him I don't know.
And
oh,
there's
I can't do that.
Something, sure, there's something to be said for honesty, though. You know, not everybody knows everything.
Well, I don't say it very much, yeah. But I do say it. I just say, you know, I need more. More diagnostics are required is one of my favorite things.
There you go.
It is his favorite saying. And I know, Tom, one of the things you also talk about is just your and we'll dip into some of your old stories of drag racing. But when you're talking about just keeping a car running on a regular basis, all new cars, you know, they 100,000 miles between tune-ups. But you do talk about lubricating, the right kind of oil, right kind of fuel, and then
maintenance.
Yes, injection cleaning and stuff like that.
Do the maintenance, not the maintenance that comes to your mind. The maintenance that the factory says, hey, you got to do this or this thing will fall apart. Maintenance. That's my big deal. And there's a lot to know. And today's cars, they'll like you said, you can get one of today's cars. It doesn't even have to be a super high quality car. Remember, there are no Yugos on the market these days.
That's true.
All cars that are marketed in this country are basically pretty darn good cars. And the ones that are just above the entry level, all of them will go $100,000 and never need anything except gas. And, well, it's good to do oil changes. But I'll tell you, I have had people in my shop that ran their cars 70,000 miles on oil changes.
Wow.
But well, as you know, that's a bad thing to do. But
yeah, but the point is, you can do it.
They don't do any maintenance aside from that.
Yeah.
None.
Well, you know, my wife and I just bought a new car, and we ended up getting the 100,000 mile 10-year thing as part of the deal. And the guy says, you know, we're not going to probably see you for a year minimum. You know, you're there's no real maintenance needed on the things, and it's absolutely true.
Well, they're all pretty safe.
Yeah.
They're all pretty safe. Well, if you look at I noticed that the Hyundai group and Kia, they have 100,000 miles bumper to bumper warranty.
Yep,
no
absolutely.
Questions asked.
Yep.
Do the oil changes and that's it. You're done. Well, that's easy for them to say because I'm telling you that there isn't a car made out there that won't go that distance with just minimal maintenance. And still be going like crazy. And that's one of the things in automotive repair that we had to learn back in the 90s, early 90s. So we're getting cars in there that had, 120,000 miles on them that had never been touched.
Sure. Yep.
What?
Wow.
Well, you know, that's common.
It was the dream for so long. And now that it's reality, it's like, yeah, I kind of liked working on the car now and then.
Well, brakes
but the other side of that is that, remember, our old cars, when they were due for a tune-up or some kind of attention, which was, every 15,000 or
fairly often,
most of them wouldn't go past 30 on a tune-up.
Oh, yeah.
You go out and light, turn the key on, and it snurred, snapped, and popped, and whatever. And, there's something wrong. I better get this in. Well, they don't do that now.
Yeah,
they run
true.
Absolutely perfect right up until
true.
The time they stop.
Then they die. Yeah. Yeah, weird smoke.
Well, and speaking of tuning, let's step back in time because you are also a very big part of the local drag racing world and have been for a long time. When did you first get involved with drag racing, Tom?
Well, that was in 19. I was born in Tacoma, and I moved to Seattle with my parents when I was in. And I grew up in West Seattle, and when I was about, I'm thinking 13 or so, 12 or 13. My next door neighbor, who was just a few years older than me, but he had a car, he decided that we needed to go out to this drag strip in Kent.
Ah, yes.
And we needed to go out there and watch, see what was going on. So he drugged me out there, and I watched Dode Martin go 777 in
all
what
right.
basically
yeah.
qualifies as a fly-in bedstead.
Yeah.
I that was it. I was hooked. It was a two-rail dragster. I believe at the time they ran Pontiac engines. They went to Chrysler's later. I was hooked. And there was a bunch of cars there, but mostly street cars. They were still fun, and I was pretty much hooked then. And shortly after that, two years after that, my parents moved to California, to Middle California, Campbell, and I had. I ran into some people, long story, too long to tell, that had a race car in a service station, which was quite common back then because
yes.
almost all service stations were mechanical shops.
Sure.
And they took me under their wing, so to speak. I was stuck there. I just went down and hung out with them because we weren't able to move into our new house in California, so we were living in a hotel, and I was just bored. I was bored silly. I was a kid from Seattle. I
yep.
used to go in from 3 o'clock in the morning when I went and delivered papers for the PI until I couldn't stand up at night. I was used to going, well, I didn't have nothing to do. So I hung out with them and went to the races with them, and kind of the rest is history. I've been basically, aside from, I went to college for 4 years, and that kind of slows your race car building down, but I've been doing some kind of drag racing ever since.
So what was your first car that you built and started running?
Probably that I was actually an owner portion in. It was the 66 Corvette that we raced and modified. And I was partners with it with a guy named Gay Howe to start with, and then yeah, it's a long story. He had a marital, he didn't get divorced over it, but she was just not into the drag race part. So
yep.
I bought him out and I raced that car. And that's probably the most famous car that I've had. I had it for quite a while. We did real well with that. And then I went on to other things. I sold that car and borrowed a car for a year and then built another car and then went. And then they did away with modified Eliminator. I went into Super Gas. We raced a Super Gas Vega with one of my friends for a long time, and on and on and on and on and on. I've been doing it for a long time.
Now, we had Art Morrison on the show a couple times ago.
He was that famous Corvette I was telling you about, the
yeah.
first one.
Yeah.
Art did the chassis on that, and it was one of his first cars.
Yeah, we talked to him about, what got him involved in doing Corvette chassis. He basically said because they were terrible chassis in the first place.
Old friends.
Yeah.
Very
yeah.
cool.
I don't even want to tell you how old. I'm old.
We can talk about that off the air. So I just have to know, because this is one of the things that I keep track of. What's your best time? What's your fastest top speed?
Well, remember, I've always run a car that was limited with cubic inches or
right.
or the body type or tire size and stuff. The fastest I've ever gone in a drag race car is 9.11, and I went 156 miles an hour.
That's pretty good.
The fastest I've ever gone.
That's pretty good. Yeah, and people don't, nowadays you can buy a Corvette off the shop floor. It'll take you an honest 200 miles an hour, but... back in the day, that was moving right along.
Well, things are a little different today.
Absolutely they are.
Yeah.
But,
yeah,
I mean, they are the way they are today because of all that stuff, we did back then.
Yes. The science of it is, the technology is like, it's like the technology and everything else. The technology has allowed us to do some pretty wondrous things. There are some things that don't actually jive with actual physics. Yet
yeah.
there it is.
Yeah, that is true.
So, yeah, I'm told that we're going to have, well, basically 2,000 horsepower street cars here very soon.
At some point, yeah. I mean, they've already beat the 1,000, so yeah, it's just a matter of time.
No,
I'm sure.
They're talking about, well, they've already got some of the European guys. That Koenigsegg guy has got 1,600. That's not a production car, but they ain't far away from him going. They're talking about 2,000 horsepower production car.
That's crazy. Crazy. and $3.5 million, too. But, you know, it's you get what you pay for.
Yeah, but who would have thought of a Hellcat and or a Demon? Even back in the
well, even the, even 10 years ago.
Even 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, you're talking money in automotive, you know.
Yeah.
I always say the same thing. Can't put a price tag on a good time.
That's right. That's right. And you know, once you start that, that box opens up and there's kind of no end to it, you know. If I'm gonna do 400, somebody's gonna do 5, somebody's gonna do 6, 7, yep. 8, 9, and pretty soon, you know, here we are heading for the Koenigsegg, you know. And it's just a matter of time.
Well, and part of that is you ended up running your own shop. Did that start when you're drag racing, or did your drag racing lead you into starting your own auto shop?
I had been drag racing with that modified car, and I had worked in the auto parts business for a long time after college. I couldn't find a job that paid anything, so I had worked part time for these guys that actually ended up. Well, they were the guys that ended up making Big Wheel Auto Parts.
Oh, sure.
And, okay. I
big name around the
and,
Northwest. Anyway.
I worked for them during college on weekends, and after I got out of college, I was going to go get this wonderful job. Well, there wasn't a wonderful job. There was a lot of not too wonderful jobs, but I was making more driving a truck and selling parts across the counter for these guys than I could have with everything else. So I just stayed in that industry and I drag raced during that whole time, and then. I went to work in the wholesale side of auto parts, and that I did well at it, but I got so tired of the manager of the warehouse, you know, clipping off my commission and the question about it, and say, hey, if you don't want to like it, there's another job, you know.
That's right.
Nowadays you wouldn't get away with that.
Nope.
The employee would sue you. So anyway, I thought, well, I can. You know, I have lots of stuff. I have a really nice shop, and I have a lot of tools and stuff, and I can work on cars. So I did. I just decided to go, you know, to do just hot rod cars, and then you end up doing people's regular street cars, and then you end up with another building, and then more stuff, and I know, and on and on and on, and that's where. And I had that shop for almost 40 years.
Wow. And you've seen a lot of changes over those years, like you were saying earlier, the technology. And yet when it comes down to it, the car is still very basic. I mean, you have computer chips and technology there, but when it comes down to...
Yeah, but you know, you've been around for a while. Like, I'll tell you that I opened my shop actually as a real professional shop in 1981. Mm-hmm. Couldn't have been worse timing because... That was when we originally had C3 GM systems.
Yep.
They were the first. Just what you need is a car that's got a computer in it. Well, that deal, we were, the industry, including myself, was not ready for it. We were like goats looking at a watch. We knew it was up to something, but boy, we couldn't tell time.
Wow.
You know, and that the learning curve there was absolutely vertical for about 5 years.
Well, and the tools went from, you know, affordable to $20,000-$30,000 just to get started.
Sun Electronics.
Yeah, but still.
The tools, there weren't any tools to start with.
Exactly.
We had a major piece of technology at the time was called a breakout box.
Yeah.
And what this was a board with connectors in it that you allowed you to go inside of a circuit without probing the wire with your test light.
Sure.
And that was big technology. Then we got some handheld stuff, and then went on and on from there. But the initial deal was, I mean, the factory guys didn't even have the scanners were way down the road yet.
and just to think, that whole
part of auto repair, me and my troops decided, well, okay, we're going to go down this road as painful as it's going to be, and we'll succeed. And we did.
You know,
let me tell you,
it's amazing.
We didn't succeed in everything.
It is amazing. Stuff like that, you know, that was the genesis of where cars and computers have kind of merged today. And now basically the Tesla is a computer. It just happens to have wheels and a seat. And there you go. And you ended up on the radio talking about cars throughout this entire thing. Hey, Tom, I really appreciate you coming and talking with us. I know that for those of people who are outside the Pacific Northwest, KVI Radio is on the air on the net. You can find the Northwest Auto Show there. Tom Turner is the auto guy. And, Tom, thanks a whole bunch. Come back and talk with us again sometime. Will you do that?
Anytime. Call me. I'm not all that busy.
All right. We'll make sure. We'll let you know. Hey, the Nathan Lipinski Weekly Trivia Question is coming up next, as well as a really cool hot rod story. You can tell your friends all of that and more on Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
Today we decided to walk to school.
The light counted. 15, 14... 41. 31? I mean, 13?
We took a left on Carroll Street. Danny's smart, but he gets distracted.
I realized
he forgot his homework.
I hope he doesn't have another bad day at school.
When you can see learning and attention issues from their side, you can be on their side. That's why there's Understood.org, a free resource for the parents of the 1 in 5 kids with learning and attention issues. Go from misunderstanding to Understood.org.
Stick around. We'll be back after these words.
Building a hot rod, rat rod, project vehicle with or without wheels? Bumping up against your skill level? Witch Doctor Restoration can give you a hand or a head to bounce an idea off of. Shane Osborne is an expert at all kinds of fabrication and mechanical work. He can take your ideas and bring them to life, or just show up at your garage and weld up the frame for your rod so it stays together. Your project is his project. If you're anywhere in the greater Seattle area, call him. He'll come to you. 206-437-1765. Witch Doctor Restoration is the place for quality work at your garage. Witch Doctor Restoration, 206-437-1765. 206-437-1765, 206-437-1765.
I adopted Bento in 2010 from a shelter. A lot of people know him as Keyboard Cat.
That's just one adoption story that started at a shelter. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States.
This is Quentin Folk. I dig up old hot rods, and I also dig this podcast.
I want to thank my mommy for loving me so much.
For taking me to the doctor when I broke my foot.
For leaving me alone when I wanted to be alone.
And now, as a grown-up, I'm thankful for being able to take care of you, my dear mom. For taking you to your therapies. For understanding that sometimes you simply want to be alone.
Roles change without us noticing. That's why AARP gives you the information to provide even better care for your loved one. Visit aarp.org/caregiving.
Hi, this is Adam Kramer from Avance.com. You're listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
It's time for Cars Confidential, and we're back with a story from Lance Lambert this week. What's up, Brady?
Well, what's up is Fenders, Fins, and Friends, as usual. We've been kind of walking our way through that book. This is Confessions of a Car Guy by Lance Lambert. And this one is called Buried in the Barn. And I think it's kind of appropriate because, of course, Steve is doing this, another show, drive-by interviews and barn finds and stuff. He's working on that for the YouTube channel and some other content. So this one may actually be very helpful for you, Steve. I hope it gives you some ideas. There are a lot of things that make participants in the old car hobby giddy with excitement. Near the top of the list is a barn find. This is a collectible car or special interest vehicle that was tucked away in a garage, a warehouse, or a farm, or a barn, and promptly forgotten. Now, they're usually covered with such a thick layer of dust, or boxes filled with unused items, or old ski gear, or motorcycle parts, it's too good to throw away. They're kind of like the dust and the boxes are hiding from view and memory. And so, on a few occasions, these barn finds have been brought to my attention, and on fewer occasions, I've purchased them and transported them to my personal barn. Here are a few examples of some dusty cars that have followed me home. Here we go. The first was a very low-mileage 1954 Chevy 210 advertised in the classified ads of the local paper. I called, and I talked to the son of the car's owner, who said, "Yeah, you can see the car, but you have to be very quiet. It's my mother's car, and she's dying right now." I went to the address and quietly knocked on the door, and a middle-aged man handed me the car keys and went back into the house. So from the front door, I could see into a bedroom, and I observed several people gathered around an old woman lying on a bed, and the lights were dim, and everybody was very quiet. Apparently, the seller was literally on her deathbed.
Wow.
After driving the car, I quickly and quietly came to an agreement with the seller's son, and I watched as he took the title into his mother, who's helped, helped her with her signature. I assume that the seller expired soon after the purchase. The car itself expired about 2 weeks later when it let me know that not long after being driven regularly for several years, it didn't appreciate being forced to travel at 70 miles an hour for extended periods. Perhaps the seller and her car were just reunited on the highway to heaven. Maybe that's what's... Barn find number two was a 1957 Buick Special. The seller had passed away 7 years early, and the car had been parked for the duration. I made the call, paid the price, pumped up the tires, replaced the battery, changed the oil, and then drove off in a car that was almost as good as new. The speedometer showed just over 30,000 miles, and the car was in pristine condition. Now, being a special means it was the cheapest model manufactured by Buick in 1957. It did have a manual transmission, and it didn't have a radio. It was barely a Buick, but I loved it, and it was one of the best cars to ever have my name on the title. You know, we had a 56 Buick Roadmaster when I was growing up, and I have to tell you, those are great big honking cars.
Yes, they
and
are.
They floated along the road.
Big
like
white
a
walls.
Big old pillow. Yeah, it was an amazing car. I never did have a special. Third on the list was a 1952 Chevy Styleline. The seller and I had a mutual friend who asked me to help the seller dispose of the car. Now, he had owned it since 1953 and could no longer drive. So I arrived at the owner's home expecting to see a rust bucket, but instead was greeted with an incredible example of early 1950s transportation. The odometer indicated just over 33,000 miles. The car was in excellent condition. The seller and I talked about a price and various methods of selling the Chevy, and I didn't want to ask too much for it, but I don't want to be taken advantage of either, he said. I advised him that $8,000, now this was in 1995, $8,000 would be reasonable, and at this price it wouldn't take long to sell. He said, well, how much would you give me for the car? I was not shopping for another old car at that time, or so my wife and financial advisor advised me, so I told him that, well, he'd likely have an easy time selling it to someone else for $8,000. He persisted, and I told him that due to limited available finances and potential second wives, that $2,000 was all I could offer. I again recommended that he put it on the market for $8,000. Well, he thanked me for my help, and we parted company. As friends, as a matter of fact. The next day, his wife called and said, he'll never get around to selling it, so you can have it for $2,000.
Wow.
So Jan, my wife, realized it really was too good of a car to pass up. So she gave me her blessing to double the number of cars in the vast Lambert Automotive collection. Recently, I discovered a real barn in Oregon that's full of dust-covered cars from the 1940s and 1950s. I wonder if Jan might enjoy a romantic Valentine's Day weekend in Southern Oregon. See, Lance is one of those guys that, and I love this kind of guy because they're full of stories. He's one of those guys that walks by a car lot or a barn or a garage. He takes a walk every day and he puts pictures up of the things that he's seen, and he sees a car and he might not think about it right then and there, but it bugs him. It bugs him for a little while, and eventually there's some little switch in his head, like so many of us, and he goes back and goes, so how much do you want for that Chrysler Crossfire? How much do you want for that Avanti? How much do you want for that Hillman? And sure enough, they end up coming and living at his house. I know this disease. It really has no cure. And
the house for orphan cars.
That's right. It's
no,
exactly,
it really is.
It's the four-wheel foundling home. Yeah, it's absolutely true.
And he typically takes in the three-legged kind, you know, the ones that not immediately thought of as top grade.
Yeah, the redheaded
prime
stepchildren.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
And they always find a nice little home in his
well, you know, he's got Henry the Hillman.
Yes.
Right now he has a Hillman Minx.
Oh,
I think.
He's had VW Bugs for many years and
the Hillman's a neat little British car. Yeah. They were real kind of popular at the time and a small little car. Fun, like, kind of along the Nash Metropolitan, you know, approach. Fun little cars, and you know those things are out there, folks. You know, you think you're going to drive around the block just to get a better parking place, and there one will sit, and you know it could happen
to
you.
Well, it predates the What's the little icons or whatever, the little boxes, the little Cracker Jack box kind of cars that run around nowadays?
You're talking about the Fiat 600s?
Yeah, I mean.
Or the Minis or the smart Minis. Cars? Oh, the Minis. Oh, sure.
I mean, these
things. Well, the Minis go back to the 60s, right. Actually, yeah. but the original ones, yeah. The new ones are a much better mechanical product than the older ones were, but the older ones were more fun.
Well, you know, I came across something that I thought was very interesting, and this is kind of a trivia thing, and a friend of mine posted this, and I never even thought about it, and then I went, that makes sense. Let me ask you, you know on most screwdriver handles, the shape they are?
Yes, that six-sided sort of knurled thing.
Yeah. Do you know why they designed it that way?
As a matter of fact, I do.
Oh.
But go ahead if you share this, because this is actually fascinating. A lot of people do not know this.
I had no idea, because I've had a bazillion screwdrivers in my life, and it is to put a box-end wrench over the top of it or around it so you can get some leverage to work on those hard-to-remove screws.
I'll give you a little extra piece of trivia about this one. Do you know who first marketed that particular idea?
Stanley?
No, Craftsman.
Craftsman.
Craftsman, I mean, people had done it before, but Craftsman actually made it was just another box wrench, but they called it the screwdriver helper, and you could get them. And the thing about them was, and if you've ever done this, it's almost useless on a flathead screwdriver.
Yes.
What you do is you immediately round off the head of the screw and you're done.
Yes. I've done that many
a time. But Craftsman sells taps and dies, so you can always drill it out and get the thing out of there. But it's not too bad on a Phillips. You just have to make sure you lean on it real good, because they're, you know, round offable, of course, as well.
Yes.
But yeah, it's really nice. It gives you some extra leverage. It's kind of a cool deal. That's a neat piece of trivia.
Well, and what's interesting is if it's on a metal part and there's some rust in there, you can add the the rust inhibitor or whatever that you just put on your
spray it with PB Blaster.
Yeah, that's right.
Or Croil or something. Yeah.
And you click it, you hit it a couple times, and then it's just nice when there's a locked bolt or a locked screw, it's only when you hear that click. And you went, oh, great, and it starts moving.
Yeah. I got one of those on the the Jimmy right now, this minute.
Oh, no.
Both of the headlight trim rings on the front of my 41 Jimmy have a flathead screw that undoes the trim ring so you can get the headlights out and so on. And both of them are rusted solid. I bathed them in PB Blaster for 3 days, and then I decided I'm going to give it a shot. Guess what? I got to get the cutoff wheel out and cut new grooves in those Hummers, because they're rounded off to beat the band.
Excellent. Well, Nathan Lipinski, weekly trivia question is next, and a peek at next week's show. Put it in park and stick around.
Building a hot rod, rat rod, project vehicle with or without wheels? Bumping up against your skill level? Witch Doctor Restoration can give you a hand or a head to bounce an idea off of. Shane Osborne is an expert at all kinds of fabrication and mechanical work. He can take your ideas and bring them to life, or just show up at your garage and help. Your project is his project. If you're anywhere in the greater Seattle area, call him. He'll come to you. 425-626-4135. Witch Doctor Restoration is the place for quality work at your garage. Witch Doctor Restoration, 425-626-4135. 425-626-4135.
Hang on till right after these messages.
It only takes a minute to find out if you may have prediabetes, and you can do it at doihaveprediabetes.org. But you're probably not going to, are you? Kids, work, listening to the radio. You're busy, which is great, because busy people can't get prediabetes. Oh my, I read that wrong. They can. Should have worn my glasses. So visit doihaveprediabetes.org and take a short test, because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Looking for a job worth talking about? Teaching is creative, collaborative, and intellectually challenging. See why teachers have better work stories at teachdfw.org and learn more about becoming a teacher. Brought to you by Teach and the Ad Council.
This is Vince LaViolette from Shelby American in Las Vegas. And you're listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
Did you hear the news? Cartoons Magazine is back. Yep, those car-crazy comics from the past have returned in an all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine filled with one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available directly through the Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com.
Help us if you can, you're an El Camino, El Camino man, only
hey, welcome back. It's Around the Wheel, and this is where we talk about upcoming events at the Nathan Lipinski Weekly Automotive Trivia Question. And someday we're going to do a show of the stuff that happens off the air, in between on the breaks.
Yes.
Steve brings stuff over to me and says, look how cool this is. Look at this. This is the coolest thing in the entire universe. And this time he's actually right. He's got a picture from, I think it's the newest Costco magazine, or one of the Costco magazines.
Yep.
And it's the article is called Taps on the Go. And what it is a couple who have basically created two, visualize an ice cream truck, an old school ice cream truck, except this one is a roving bar.
Yes.
They basically go places, set up, and, you know, like you cater an event, instead of having an actual, you know, land
instead of
bar,
a barbecue pit or something like that.
Drive in
yeah.
with the bar and serve drinks out of the back of this trailer. He's got one that's, it's not a trailer, it's a truck body. He's got
yeah.
one that is made out of an old Crosley, and the other one's something larger. I don't see it. Maybe Dodge, it looks like. But, yeah, what an interesting idea. Of course, you'd have to get a liquor license, and depending on what state you're in, you may or may not be able to do something like that. But if you do get the Costco magazine, or you can find it online, I'm sure, it's kind of a cool idea. I like it.
Well, I'm thinking it might work really good for your rat rod.
I don't know. I still want to do the ice cream truck.
You could just convert that, just put a flip thing on the side and set it up, and all of a sudden you've got a... Dude, you would be
driving margaritas.
You would be very popular.
Oh,
make
man.
Buck on that.
That's crazy. Well, maybe so. I don't know. Who knows? I might get a wild hair and decide, you know.
Yeah.
Hey, as we usually talk about in this segment, there are things, you know, car shows and other events that are coming up, and so many of them have been canceled because of the coronavirus thing that we actually don't have any that we can give you a firm, solid date on. I can say that there are some coming up down the end of the summer that have not yet been canceled. So we're just going to have to wait and see, but I guarantee you this, there are sort of pop-up car shows and gatherings happening at places around. People are driving to see each other. They're just maintaining social distance.
Yep.
So good for them. I mean,
yep.
it's hard to have a hot rod and not drive it. But speaking of hot rods, I do have some trivia this week. Last week, our question, our Nathan Lipinski Weekly Automotive Trivia question was, what was the first American car ever sold in quantity? And the key to the question was, how much was it? And I gave people a hint last week. It was $650 for the car. So
wow.
that tells you how far back
yes.
this was. So Ron Corlino got with me on Facebook, and I don't know where Ron's from. He just sent me. I should probably look up his profile, but thanks, Ron, for coming up with the answer. The first American car manufactured in any quantity was the Curved Dash Oldsmobile, offered for about $650 in 1901.
Wow.
And that tells you how long Oldsmobile was around.
And $600 was a lot of money back then.
$650 was big, big bank. Yeah, no kidding. So congratulations to Ron Corlino. He's going to show up on the website with the can of Horsepower Chrome and Rust Barn Find Dust this week. A new question, an even cooler question. What was the first production car? The first production car. Now, the other question was which car was offered in quantity. But the first production car offered in the United States was what? And nobody ever gets this one.
No.
Nobody ever gets this one. The first production car offered in the United States was what? If you know, get to us at contactus@horsepowerchromeandrust.com. You can, of course, go to the Facebook page and pound an answer in there. You can send it to me on Messenger, or you can throw a walk through the window at midnight, although I don't guarantee what the response to that might be. But, you know, take your chances. It's always lots of fun.
Well, you got a little dog that might come out. And
I have two dogs. I have a dangerous little puggle who will basically
yes.
yap at you. And I have a 10-month-old pit bull, and she's a little bit more aggressive.
Yeah.
But she's still a puppy, so she's not going to do a whole lot of damage. But, yeah, please do these. The trivia questions are a lot of fun, and we get some fun answers, too, especially from Ron said, I don't really care if I win. I just think it's fun that you're doing the question.
Well, it is.
It's kind of nice.
And we love to hear from you. We had Sean Putz and Michael Foster.
Foster, yeah.
Both had commented that they enjoyed the article that was posted up
there. Oh, yeah, you bet. Absolutely.
And I've been trying to pull up some really cool old television ads for cars and and posting those, because those are just a gas to look at.
Oh, there's some fun stuff. And we do put up, I mean, you're welcome to post on the show, so
yes,
please do that. Thank you, by the way, for liking and following and saving our Facebook page and our website. We really appreciate that. Thanks to Tom Turner, the auto guy from the Northwest Auto Show on KVI Radio, for chatting this week. For Shane Osborne and Steve Johann, I'm Brady Wright, saying keep your eyes on the road, your hands on the wheel, your foot to the floor, your COVID mask on. Next week, we trip the lights on another Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.